Snyder. Hey, Dylan. And you.
You're listening to the Doug Stanhope Podcast.
Oh, hello, Chad.
Me. What's happening?
Hello, world. It's evidently a brand new world out there. So that's why we moved this. I don't know if I told you, Chad, but we were going to do it yesterday, the day before the inauguration. And I go, well, first of all, that means we'd put it out on inauguration day when no one's watching. And if shit goes down, we don't want to have a podcast of us talking about, well, what do you think tomorrow's going to be like?
One step behind the rest of the world.
Yeah, people are listening as their fucking towns burn to the ground. Yeah, that would be a shit podcast. That would be the opposite of the cliffhanger podcast.
Instead, here we are with absolutely nothing exciting to talk about with the inauguration at all.
That's all right. I have notes. I have other shit I wanted to talk about. But first, I twice today I thought I got canceled as soon as Biden got sworn in. I got that one guy tweeted that, hey, I can't get your podcast on Spotify. And then Chaley replies, yeah, a couple people have said that, just go to another platform. And I'm like, Spotify, that's like Rogan's, they're fucking blocking my podcast?
No.
Another guy emailed me and he said, listen, I can't get the last two tracks of before turning the gun on himself. The last two tracks are my favorite material. Why is it, say, not available in the U.S. on all the streaming sites? So I check Amazon. Fucking sure enough, those two tracks, not available. So I called Hennigan. Like, I'm getting those two things in a row where am I fucking getting canceled for what? Like, I looked at the two tracks. One of them is a vaguely racist. If you call Asian women the most beautiful women in the world, I guess that's racist to all the other women. I don't know. But yeah, it turns out those tracks are over 10 minutes long. We had the same problem with the last CD. Amazon has a track that's more than 10 minutes, you have to buy the whole album. So yeah, so in short order, I figured out, oh, okay, I'm not getting canceled. So my world's no different. But last night, I watched part two of the Tiger Woods documentary, Tiger, on HBO. And I was trashing the first part when it came. I watched the first 90 minutes of part one. And it's just about, you know, his dad making him play golf. And, you know, he became a great golfer. And he was a kid with a weird, and that was it. And then, you know, then getting famous. But part two is actually really good. That's where he gets into some shit. And, but the whole time I'm watching this documentary, I'm watching all these people that have been talking about him since he's a fucking teenager. But they don't, but then they're just guessing what he must be going through. And at some point, one of them said that, yeah, I thought at this time, if there's ever a time he needs real friends, and I reached out to him, but his phone just went straight to voicemail, and then he cut me out of his life completely. And I think of all the people who would fucking send me emails to give to Johnny Depp, because if you ever just want real people, I know you're surrounded by all those crazy Hollywood people. If you want to just have a home-cooked meal with a normal people, and like, that's the last thing he wants. I mean, I get emails like that. They're not as desperate, but I was just thinking, like, if I died, how many people would fucking jump to be in a documentary that I haven't even fucking talked to since I was 28 years old? Or people I do know now that you go, yeah, don't shut the fuck up, Kenny. What? talking about what motivated me as a comedian is one thing if you tell a story that you were involved in. But when they sit back and talk about, I think Tiger, at one point they said when Tiger Woods got, you know, caught fucking a million chicks, well, his dad was also a philanderer. And maybe I think, because he missed his father so much, he had to go all the way down that rabbit hole to understand. No, he just wanted to fuck a bunch of chicks. Like, shut up, Kenny. he wouldn't be the guy to. But, like, how many people are in your life that, not that you don't like, but then you go, yeah, I would never want them fucking talking about, like, Hedberg is a good example. I get another email about where we want to do a Hedberg documentary, and we wouldn't want to attach ourselves to a or whatever, unless you were attached, like having a good friend attached. I have like 4 Hedberg stories I remember. They're all when we were fucking kids, and I wouldn't even want to be in it. Everything, the Julie Seebaugh's thing she did about Hedberg, that she knew that was the extent of my knowledge and still wanted to throw it in with other people, fine. But I wouldn't go in and try to fucking proclaim what motivated Nietzsche and, you know, or Depp for that matter. I wouldn't be, if Depp died and they wanted me in a documentary, I'd say, fuck no. I had 3 stories that I told in a book, and that was all.
Well, we'd entertain an offer. I mean, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater here. Let's just see what kind of numbers they're throwing out. Hey, Chad, can you do me a favor, boost your level a little bit?
Yeah, I forget. I have to boost my level on here, and I have to turn it back down for Skype. God, such a hectic life here in the rat race.
All that work in your sound shed. Slash bar.
The other day while I was on the Twitch stream, I got fucked up and I berated everybody and told them that they were basically McDonald's franchise owners because now they've enslaved me to doing that stupid fucking Twitch stream because I make just enough money doing it to make me keep doing it. So I hope they're all happy with themselves. And I felt kind of...
Nah, you'll probably double your numbers.
I was hoping for it.
That was the plan.
I don't know if all the audience loves abuse, but the ones that do, you gain a fan base out of.
Hey, I got an idea. I don't want to say I got a tip because you're way better at that whole thing with the Twitch. Maybe when you go live, play a fucking video game.
Oh, weird.
You guys talk a lot. And then jabber jaw back and forth. There's no gaming, really.
I think the only audience that would be looking for video games would probably report me. So I'm in a weird spot where I can't really try to appeal to any other audience than the miserable fucks that also just want to drink and hang out with me while we're fucking instead of doing it by themselves. So
fair enough.
I don't know how OnlyFans works, but I assume that there is a feature that is Twitch-like where you can just fucking all bullshit and have a chat going on the side.
I don't know.
But I was going to say, if you went to a different platform that you didn't have to fucking watch your mouth or play video games, do you think you'd really lose people?
Well, I... like 200, a little over 200 subscribers, and I'd have to look at the percentage of them that are like free. A lot of people pay for a subscription or gift other people subscriptions repeatedly. I have several people that just do that and help keep it afloat. But it's, I think the Twitch Prime thing is at least a good percentage of them where it doesn't cost anybody any money. That was the original grift.
All right. Yeah. I forgot about that part. And plus, anytime you ask someone to fucking register, even sign up for my mailing list, how many people, I'd have to type out my whole name and shit.
When Fury first talked me into doing this, I was like, all right, that's simple enough. And I researched and I go, all right, that's simple enough. And then when I actually had to do it, I was the first thing. I was like, hey, this is a pain in the ass. I'm sorry I'm asking you to do this. Because it wasn't that easy to figure out.
I get easily put off. The New York Times. A few times I subscribe to it online. And a few times I'll hit a story. I don't know how it works. If some stories you have to be subscribed, because I can get it without being a subscriber. If it's
they're trying to get you. They give you a couple stories, but then a bunch of them you'll have to go beyond the paywall to get it.
But the laptop I signed up on and it fucking says you have to log in, which I should always be logged in. So I hit log in and then I fucking hit submit because the password is remembered, and then it goes right back to. You have to be a member to read this page. And I'm like, but I don't even know how to get a hold of them to cancel the fucking subscription. I just want it fixed, but that's even more of a problem. So now I just don't read those stories and pay for it.
If they put in like a clickbait that asks a question or has like a open-ended thing and then I click on it and it's like, you have to pay to see this, I just fucking make up my own end of the story and blame them for the misinformation. I'm just like, fuck, I don't know if that's right or wrong, but that's, according to these people, that's what I heard.
Yeah, that's a good way to do spread fake news, according to the fucking New York Times. And then just make up the end of the headline. This would be a good time to, someone just tweeted something about, I'm going to start a Biden QAnon and say that he's doing this and that. But I'm like, no, you should do it the other way, is that fucking Biden is here to stop all these rampant, keep the QAnon bullshit part alive, but just make Biden into the new fucking,
the new guy.
Yeah.
The Lord was displeased with Trump.
Yeah,
so now has chosen Biden, but the same plan's still going.
Yeah, but yeah, don't forget about the fucking eating babies that you raped.
Pizza sauce.
Yeah, there was a New York Times article today about how fucking, not QAnon, but Proud Boys have completely fucking turned on Trump and fuck him, he was weak. And we'll keep our ideals alive, but maybe we abandon both parties. But yeah, get in there and fucking go, no, no, QAnon, they're still fucking eating babies and fucking them and stuff.
Biden splinter groups now.
Biden has a dog whisper that dogs can't hear. You really have to read between the lines. I'll tell you what he's saying.
Yeah, I got kind of wrapped up in that QAnon stuff there towards the end because all of it was really specific. And I was like, well, how? You didn't leave yourself any outs. I mean, if there's one thing I know about fucking being completely full of shit is you leave an out so that, you know, paint yourself into a corner. So I was waiting to, you know, see, and a lot of them just pretend that didn't happen.
Alex Jones's out is to continue talking and find any word that steers him down a completely different road, but seems like a seamless segue, and just barrages you till you don't remember what the fuck you were trying to call him on. I've tried to talk to that guy back when he was fucking nothing. He was just a cable access guy that hung out with Kevin Booth. Another example. This might have come up before. Oh, see, I'm Alex Jonesing myself. I was going off on a different topic. So yeah, let's go that way. I always said that about Kevin Booth. I'm going back to he was Bill Hicks's best friend, and I go, yeah, Ron Putnam would say that about me if I fucking died and became a legend. And he wouldn't be wrong. Like, we were best friends, but he was incredibly full of shit. Kind of like Ralphie May, where you just let it slide. And you had all these unverifiable stories.
They weren't hurting anyone. They were anecdotes.
I know, but imagine you're fucking dead, and they say Doug Stanhope's best friend on the documentary, and it's Ron Putnam. Fucking... selling his book Lifer about the fucking 20 days he spent in county for unpaid tickets.
I'd watch that documentary.
Like Andy would be fantastic on a documentary. Could you fact check it? No. Would I be going, that's not how it went, Andy, from hell?
I was watching on YouTube, they have a series, I think it's called The Soft White Underbelly. And they have like interviews with like just people, like some of the ones I was watching were like in like rural West Virginia. And it's kind of just regular people, but they just have a story. And then it made me realize like everybody has a story, but not everybody can tell
exactly
a story. I get engrossed. I'm like, well, I kind of want to know what happened in your life, lady, but I don't want to listen to you fucking tell me. Is there somebody else that can fill in for you?
Break it down.
Some people have really important shit to say, and you almost fall asleep at the wheel while you're listening to Noam Chomsky. Oh, is that how that tweet came up the other day? Nom, 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 Chomsky. I know it was a clue on the Sunday Times.
Oh, it was.
Chomsky. Anyway, yeah, Noam Chomsky is the most, it's like listening to a unabridged Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, if you ever saw that movie.
where they just talk at this level all the time. And really, the problem with the caste system in the United States, which is under.
Like, all right, I know you're saying something good. Fucking inflection. Go high, go low. Build up some fucking drama.
There was an audio book about like an adult guide to drug use or whatever that this doctor wrote that seemed pretty interesting. And I was like, I'm going to listen to that on audio book. I listened to a sample of it. I'm like, oh, fuck. I got to get the regular book. This guy sounds like the fucking kid who just hoped the teacher wouldn't call on him and never raised his hand and fucking had to just get chosen in the middle, read out loud in front of the class. It was horrible to try to listen
to. Here's my $1,000 idea of the moment. And I'm selling this. I'm pitching you right now, Audible. Why don't you do like GPS where you can switch the accent on the voice and shit?
Like Siri.
Yeah. Take her right now, says Morgan Freeman. Nah, you know, I think I want Samuel L. Jackson.
But you've done an audiobook. That means another person has to completely read the book.
Exactly.
All right.
And then they pay them to do that. And then they have that feature where you can choose from your option of readers.
Switch narrator.
Yeah. Fuck just the speed. Switch the narrator. All you have to do is pay some voiceover cunt in L.A. They'll fucking do it for... You're talking about McDonald's wages. Voiceover actors.
Yeah.
Everyone from the podcast has to read. Could we do hijack bootleg Audible books? I'll read any book you want for this much money. And what are they going to do? If you're doing it like a cameo.
If you're selling it to one person, if they ask you to do it, it's like a command performance.
Yeah. This is a high dollar item.
Right? Oh, yeah. It's not going to be cheap.
I was going to say, that's a lot of work. I actually, it was so much work that now I hardly ever go in that studio because it's easier and you actually make more money in this one where I do Twitch.
We call it a writer's room, Chad. Stay with me. Okay, maybe a book is a little too much to bite off. How about your Sunday paper horoscope audibles? We'll read your Sunday morning horoscope.
Open a fortune cookie for you and read your fortune.
There you go.
We can do it as a Zoom.
Still a high dollar item.
They can tell Chad to dig down deep in the bowl, down to the left, like picking a lobster.
For extra, I'll do one of those, what the hell is it, where you make the sounds into the thing. I'll eat the fortune cookie right into the microphone. ASMR.
Yeah, ASMR.
Eat the fortune cookie right into the microphone. That's a bonus.
Doug likes that.
I have an update. I saved this for Chaley. Crazy Mary. You might remember her from the police beats. Anytime there was something on Van Dyke that was trivial, that was Crazy Mary. Up and over. She
lives on Van Dyke about four houses down. And
she's been in the police beat complaining about wind chimes. Someone's wind chimes. Kids skateboarding
down, which is an issue. I think if she was ever on the road, is the sound of wheels making her nervous?
Well, if wind chimes fuck with her.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
skateboarders, they annoy me.
Crazy Mary has ears like an elephant. I've never seen her. I don't know what she looks like.
She doesn't look like anything. She's a mystery, and she's been here forever. We know the people on either side of her, where she'd just come out and scream, "You're fucking communists, and get the fuck out of my, off my lawn," basically. But she's off her meds, and then sometimes she's on her meds, and she's a very nice person. This is just all hearsay from up the uphills and old bad neighbor Jeff before he moved. So at some point, she called the cops on our dogs. We didn't know it. Or was it down to just Henry at that point? How long ago?
No. It was both of them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's a long time ago. Because Ichabod went down April of 2019.
So no, hold on a second. I think that's what it was. it was because it was only Henry, and we're like, well, it couldn't be our dogs because Henry doesn't bark. Yeah, you're right. How long's Ichabod?
Yeah, almost 2 years.
Jeez.
Yeah, I was just thinking. Really? Because that was when I was off the road, that was the bit I loved doing the most, is the bit about Ichabod, you know, my dog being put down. And then I thought today, that's going to be a fucking old story by the time I ever get back on the road. And then I thought, no, I have another dog.
Yep, in the wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could do that all over again, so it's fresh.
It might be close.
I know. Poor girl. She snores standing up. What's wrong with that?
Poor Henry.
What was my point?
Crazy Mary.
So I thought maybe it was the neighbors next door, but they have dogs, and I brought it up, and they go, no, I don't hear you. So just after that conversation, I'm walking Henry, and I see a lady, because she has a pit bull that you rarely see, but you see it more than Mary. So I go, I think that might be that pit bull, and here's this woman, and you don't know what she looks like, because she looks, I talked to her the other day, she looks like Professor Clouseau with a fucking, she wears this oversized beige, like, raincoat, London fog kind of trench coat, raincoat, and then a big hat, so... Even after I talk to her, I don't know what she looks like. But so I was walking the dog, and I see what I think is Crazy Mary before I talk to her. And I get home, and there's a baggie on the door with a dog treat and a note saying, I'm sorry I complained about your dogs. I was grumpy. It was a dog treat in it. Dog should bark and have fun. And it's signed Marion Schnooky. That's her dog.
Oh, Schnooky's not her last name?
And we had to check the security footage to see if it was the same people, the same dog and woman I saw, and it was. So it was weeks or a month later that I just saw her. And I go, hey, Mary, hey, Schnooky. Then, you know, of course, I get a mask and a beanie on. She doesn't know who the fuck I am. She didn't know who I was when she left the thing on my doorknob. I said, and she looked confused, and I said, thank you very much for the note and the dog treat. And she said, I'm trying to be less of a cunt.
James, have you ever used Eros Guide for hookers on the road?
Eros Guide, that sounds interesting. What is it?
Eros Guide is where, in my later stage of getting hookers via computer, I would go to Eros Guide. They have hookers in every major metropolitan area.
So, is this like Craigslist?
It tells you what they gives you pictures, tells you what they're into.
Right, because I'm tired of going to Craigslist finding these skanky hookers. Is there a better place
to
go?
Hey, your face isn't really pixelated. Get out of my Motel 6.
How much to just talk for 3 months?
Okay. All right, I'll give you $250 an hour, but I get to live on your couch for a year and a half.
And believe me, you'll be paying me that back.
Did you say no? I like what you did. I respect that. Can I do some laundry at your house? It's just this jacket and cap. All right, that's a plug from James Inman. Now back to the podcast, already sort of in progress. Oh, hey, we got Bobby.
You got to admire that.
All right.
That's a nice...
Now let's see if we can hear Bobby or if we need to go to headphones.
Hello, this is a prepaid call from...
Bobby. So far, so good.
A prisoner at the Michigan Department of Corrections, Parnell facility. If you feel you're being victimized or extorted by this prisoner, please contact GTL customer service at 855-466-2832. To accept this call, press 0. Your current balance is $10.49.
Jack, can you hear?
This call
yes,
is
sir.
From a correction facility and is subject to monitoring and recording. Thank you for using GTL.
Hey, Douglas.
Hello, you're on the air. I planned ahead in case you might call in and had the Bluetooth set up. Chad's via Zoom.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Chadley. worked up. I'm in. I'm usually outside when I talk to you. I'm separated by 6 feet. Right now, I'm in the Thunderdome inside the unit. I don't know if it sounds any louder to you. Just shoulder to shoulder with a bunch of goddamn degenerates. What's going on in Bisbee?
All celebrating the inauguration, I guess.
Yeah, life's better. Everything's back to normal. Everything's back to normal.
Hang on one second, Bobby. Anyway, Crazy Mary said, "I'm sorry, your dogs were. I had a bad back, and your dog was making noise, and I called the police on you." And I go, "I didn't even know you did that." She goes, "Oh, okay." But she was very nice. That was the end of Crazy Mary's story. But Bobby, we were talking about people in your life that you would be horrified if you found out they were talking about you in a documentary afterwards. But that led me to think, like, for you, you probably don't remember Friends. This is my question for you, Bobby. Has anyone ever reached out to you and mailed you shit because you're a prisoner that you go, "Oh, fuck this guy"? Or do you just respond out of boredom?
You mean like shit talking, like negative shit?
No, just someone who sent you a letter that you go, "This person is either so stupid or so insulting or whatever."
Listen,
you wouldn't keep in touch with someone if they were giving you a couple bucks for commissary.
Listen, I swear to God, on the way down, I was like, mental note, not necessarily on the podcast, but I need to talk to Doug about this. Because the way you handle, because when I used to write you, I would be always blown away when you responded. I'm like, he's got to have tons of people writing him, right? I have, now that the podcast is doing well, I have people that reach out to me on JPay, and I love them for it, you know, and initially I'm like, ooh, this is exciting. I'm kind of like a little fucking Z-list celebrity, or it's just cool that people give a shit and care. But then you slowly start realizing when it's like, I have like 100 people now writing me, where I'm like, first of all, I can't get back to all of you. Second of all, some of you are stupid. and I was like, how does fucking Douglas, I made just like a note, like I need to ask him how he dealt with it, because you would write me back all the time, and I'm like, there's no way he's doing it to everyone. But I once had a girl, I think I might have told you this off the air once, that was like, she wrote reviews for like old, like shitty horror films, and she was like taken up to writing serial killers.
Yeah.
And I guess she found me along the way, and she wrote me and was like, "Yeah, I also write Dennis Rader, BTK killer, and I wrote Manson, and I'm writing you." And I was like, "Thanks, I guess." You know what I mean?
That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah. Good company.
Yeah, I emailed Carlin and Pryor and you. Well, I guess if that's what you're known for.
Yeah, big leaks. She was really slumming it. Contacted me, but it was
all
right.
Yeah, I don't answer all my email. I answered your email because you're interesting. You have an interesting story. You're well spoken. You know what the fuck you're talking about, and you get the joke. You can tell that in a sentence or two about someone, or in a sentence or two in person, especially.
I was just wondering that. I just wrote some people back today and shit. And if any of you are listening, which I'm sure they are, because plenty of them are killers termites, I wasn't talking about you guys.
Yeah, we were just talking about that because when I first started talking about Tiger Woods, and I watched the Tiger Woods documentary, and I was guessing how much a lot of these people really knew Tiger Woods according to Tiger Woods. Like, would he say you were best friends through high school? Would he say...
Right.
Oh, I'm fucking...
That would be infuriating. You're like, I think I remember this piece of shit. I definitely didn't talk to him about that. He's got his feet kicked up talking to whoever, whatever documentarian about how you guys were snorting coke off strippers and shit.
So yeah, I was talking about like the people that you find in your lives that, or that you've known for years. Like, I get a lot of that. Hey, fucking, I'd known Stanhope since he was fucking 23 at open mics. Yeah, but I stopped doing that and moved 6 months later, and I haven't talked to you since. So did you really know me for fucking 30 years? No, you knew me for 6 months. And those are the kind of people that I was thinking are the people filling up this documentary about Tiger Woods. Are all those people that, yeah, I've known him for since he was a kid. Well, you were a grip on that show his dad made him do when he was 9 and hit a golf ball. Anyway.
I would imagine they'd get... I would imagine a lot of those people would come from that Ralph's Diner in Worcester.
Worcester.
Because when you played there for the first time, like going back,
yeah,
you had a lot of people at the merch booth who were like, oh, yeah, me
from high school. I only went to 10 months of high school. And then I quit.
They all came to the gig. They didn't watch your show, but they came and talked to me.
What I was getting to is I've always wanted to do a bit about, because the audience has more experience than I do. I've learned where you have friends that you go, I don't really like them. They're just my friends. Like, you realize, I don't like a lot of my friends. Point being that you can't do that bit, because you either have to point out specific people, like Ron Putnam, who's dead. And you know, make that, you know, and be look cruel for pointing out people that you don't really like, or you just don't say their names and everybody thinks you're talking about them.
Yeah,
it's an undoable bit. Everyone
that writes me on JPay now is assuming that I'm talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
Those people that would come to the merch table for you. I mean, it's cool. You guys, right? Those are the guys that. Knowing you is like the biggest thing they ever did, right? So they're just, that's their thing.
Sometimes people just want a t-shirt. A lot of them just like the mug. No, but that's the problem, is there are really good people that, you know, tell you really great things. And I saw you, the first time we saw you was our first date, and now we're engaged, you know, and have kids 12 years later. They don't listen to the podcast.
I think we talked about this before, but you go through life thinking like, oh, this group of people, I talked about the COs and the convicts, like you, it's us versus them, and all COs are pricks and all convicts are cool. And then you quickly realize that within every group, there's certain people. So even people who like you that initially you're like, oh, if people like me and they're supporting me, then they're decent people. I mean, it's the same percentage. Most people are idiots. The trick is finding a cool one.
Yeah. But you always know right away. Like, I know if...
Yeah.
I've never been surprised that a friend of mine turned out to be like this. I mean, as you age, you have some that might fucking start being, like, Trumpian. Yeah, but that's because they, you know, those aren't the ones you hang out with. Those are the ones that, you know, expect you to hang out when you show up. They have fucking 4 kids now, and, you know, one of them's fucking retarded, and the other one's in college, and he can't afford to pay for it. And yeah, he's miserable in Trump, and he lives 3 houses down from where he grew up. That guy.
You have that weird situation where you will run into these people once every 2 years as you travel through a town when you would be on the road. And then you just had to like suck it up for a half hour, 45 minutes until you said, hey, Shaley's got the van. We got to go. I mean, I remember places where we would be. I mean, that person brought you toys from when you were a kid. Remember that?
Yeah, that was my cousin.
Yeah.
No, that was my neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't dislike those
No, I'm just
people.
Saying that, like, you have an out, and it's really only for a limited amount of time until you have to leave anyway.
Yeah.
You don't live down the street from them anymore.
Do you ever feel like you owe those people anything?
Well, he's talking about a different... He's talking about actual people I grew up with, not fans.
Oh, okay.
Fans,
the same thing, though. Every 2 years when you go through towns, like, I saw you last time, I'm here again.
Yeah, but there's, again, now it doesn't just sound like I'm talking about certain friends who are going to think I'm talking about them. Now it sounds like I'm talking about all my fans that I actually know. A lot of people I like to see. Joe Vernon. Like, I don't keep in touch with Joe Vernon, and I feel bad about it. And then when we have seen him on the road, it's those gigs where you really don't hang out after the show. And then I see him before the show and I'm fucking sober and I get a fucking plate full of notes and small talk's hard to come by. But I fucking love Joe Vernon. Joe Vernon, I would want to have in my documentary. He was there at a, you know, for a ton of shit and pivotal points in my life. I don't keep in touch. So, yeah, and I don't talk on the phone. I don't, that, we don't, and especially now, no one has anything to say. Hey, let me call my old friend. What have you been up to for the last year sitting here?
That's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about, too, instead of just getting off on a tangent, like shitting on people. There are people that write me that I genuinely am like, oh, I really like this person's cool as hell. And when it's 1 to 10 people, but when it's like 30 people that are cool, that you really like, it's like, how do you just, like, I don't want to, it's like you're kind of fucked because I'll send them short little messages and be like, hey, I don't want you to think I'm ignoring your messages or anything. What's up? I hope you're doing good and
well,
shit.
Yeah,
and
well, you have to pay for all that time and, like, I have no excuse. You have to pay for emails. You have to pay for, you have a very limited amount of time to fuck with it. So, no, people do understand that you don't get back to him, and especially if someone sends me the fucking worst is when they put something really stupid in the subject and then say, now that I got your attention, like you're picking and choosing based on a, like, I'm not reading a book here. I'm not selecting a fucking title from the, you know, H&W at the airport. God damn it. I'm losing. I'm fucking high and my head's going way fast.
Oh man, really?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, Bobby, and I skirted the entire issue by being known as a mean, miserable bastard that hated everybody from the get-go. So now nobody has any expectations of me at all. So I just get to be fucking as rude as I want until, you know, feeling nice.
But you're winning. Chad painted himself as a prick. Who's a miserable cunt? And he's like, now I'm winning.
Before we lose you, Bobby, that was the point I was getting to when I asked you, is there anyone that you wouldn't like respond to? Or because my death row pen pal back decades ago started sending me like watercolor paintings. And I'm like, holy shit, this guy can paint. He's got talent. And then I fucking realized later on, that's not him. He's not doing this. He'd put like crude fucking cock cartoon drawings in his letters. And I'm like, that's not the guy that painted that. He's like, yeah, it's kind of a scam we do, basically. Kind of.
He paints a bird or
no, a guy that in the cell block can paint, and he'll paint him a thing and he'll.
Oh, is that what the scam was?
Yeah, because I was sending the guy money. If someone was sending you money, is there anyone you wouldn't correspond with?
Oh, absolutely. I've always had a tough time faking shit with people.
Like, for money.
I mean, I've never been off. I know, I understand. I've never been offered a large amount of fucking money, right? But I have had people like giving me drugs back in the day or buying me drinks and just putting up with them a little.
You have 1 minute remaining.
I quickly reach a wall where I'm just like, yeah, fuck you. And then I wish I was better at that maybe. I don't know.
All right, well, everyone go to notesfromthepen.com and get Bobby's information and then send him some JPay money with the most fucking repulsive, revolting, offending letter and see if he responds. But money first. Yeah,
it's gonna take someone knock off my restitution and shit, and then, I don't know, I might marry. I don't fucking know. We'll see. Let's put my money where my mouth is. All right, Chadley and Shaylee, Douglas, hey, I love you guys.
Bobby, take care, bud.
Love you, baby.
All right, dude. Thank
you. Nice.
Perfectly timed. It's like he can see us.
Well, he's pretty tight on happy hour. You know, between 4:30 or 5:30 is usually his time. So sometimes he calls earlier. Yeah. I lost him last time I talked to him. Didn't get to find out why.
Real chatty there in the Thunderdome. I like it better when he's outside or wherever he usually is. Yeah. Maybe we could write the warden request.
That,
like a
that,
A cubicle or podcasting pod?
I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast where he said that.
Yeah.
That it's gone up the chain of command.
They're listening.
Yeah.
I mean, they're listening to the phone call anyway. So now they're listening to the edited version.
Hey, COs, if you want to start a GoFundMe page for yourself, you know, to like, grease up the wing a little bit.
I don't know that they're listening to ours. They're listening to his.
All right.
Yeah. Or maybe,
how the fuck did they hear about his without hearing about ours first? I'm so fucking tired of these issues with convicts and issues with fucking retards. Well, at least yours has room to grow.
This is Bingo. You are listening to the Doug Stanhope Podcast.
New Year's Day, Chad, is February 8th. That's because now we thought maybe the violence for today, but nothing. So now we're going back to football on Sunday.
Wait, is that Super Bowl 8th?
No, the 7th. New Year's Day is the 8th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we do Super Bowl, and then we start our lives anew. All those dumb ideas that I've been having?
They're still dumb.
Nah, they're going to be fucking great. Yeah, well, it's going to come to fruition because fucking the houses will be empty. Fucking British Jonathans will have gone home. Olivia Grace will have a new place. And I can set up cameras in the little house and do that thing that I was about to say. Stupid thing.
Yeah.
Start that other stupid.
I'm glad we didn't. Yeah. I'm glad we didn't shoot from the hip and do that because I've thought about four different ways to film that.
Good.
So, and each of them is easier than the last. So, yeah, we just need a spot where we can set stuff up.
Yeah, I'm going to write.
That'll be fun.
Is that going to be
Patreon?
And we're going to talk to people. We're going to talk to people. I just got done with my counseling, and she told me some jokes. I said, you're so much like Irma Bombeck. You know what? She had some great points in between her funny thing. She's such a sweetheart.
It's the same person you've had every time?
It's the same person. But at some point, she's not ever going to get this, which is fine because you can switch counselors. But I go into counseling and I don't really want to. The stage is my counseling. If I have a fucking problem, that's why I thought today, why don't I just grab my notebook?
Your comedy notebook.
Yeah.
And not just, your feelings.
Yeah, just
notebook.
Read her some premises. Because if I had a fucking serious issue, I would fix it by solving the problem and then making jokes with it. That would make it into material. Like, I'm not watching fucking late night fucking talk shows to get ideas for material. Sorry, Chad's laughing at me because I'm high. Wait, was I going somewhere?
But you're not on stage now, so is the therapy kind of helping out in like being able to talk to someone that doesn't know your point of view?
I would have to switch counselors.
To what? To get
to
more
someone
laughs?
To someone who understands, like, she can't comprehend any of the lifestyle or. Go ahead, Chad.
Are you sober for counseling was my question.
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I didn't want to forget.
No, I haven't done one. Again, if I were seriously into counseling, I would switch counselors and I would have no compunction about being shit-faced. But this is like a 66-year-old woman in a suburban area that, you know, that talks to people like herself. You don't go to a fucking, you know, the old joke about, you know, Dr. Ruth and sex counseling or a nun and sex. You don't go to someone who has no idea what it's like.
Are you not ever tempted to just completely open up and lay everything bare like you would if you needed to really go through a therapy and just blow this fucking poor lady's mind? And it's like, I did not sign up for this shit.
That's a fucking great idea. But, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, what
yeah,
do you,
no, it's
what
a
do you
really
lose?
Funny idea.
What do you lose? I mean,
she would be in your documentary for sure. Oh, you wouldn't believe the things he said to me.
I was his counselor.
Try to condense fucking 3 books and 4 years since into a 40-minute counseling session where you give them the last 5 to talk. And my mother. I grew up with my mother. This is before we killed her. Okay.
Oh, I'm jumping ahead.
So, yeah, I forget how I got on this. Yeah, that idea of, yeah, we're going to do something like that, where we're going to talk to you for money. We can't take Medicaid. We're figuring out. We can't call it this and that. But, yeah.
We are eligible
fucking
for
Bobby
Aflac.
Should do that. Bobby should fucking, you should be able to pay Bobby's mother. Bobby's
yeah,
mother.
You, hold on. Hold on.
What? I'm saying you should be able to. I'm not fucking saying he's
Bobby's
doing
mother
that.
can accept money and things. It's, I know. It's Bobby. He's a guest. He's someone who we call or we arranged to call to be on here to help us understand the prison system.
Yeah, that'll happen. New Year's Day. Well, actually, it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday the 9th because we're going to need a recovery day after
the
Super Bowl.
We already had calendars printed.
Wow. There's another merchandise idea. Single day calendars. Because what does it really matter? Just
every
just
day's
pick
a night
day.
For a year?
Yeah. And it'll have a beefcake photo of me. It's unflippable. You cannot flip to the next month. It's just me on a bearskin rug, a beer belly and my socks on, and a thong.
Wow, we have a vision.
Yep.
You know what I just found is I'm slowly starting to actually clean some of the boxes and stuff from when we had some work done around the house. And I found the actual photo, the hard – remember when you used to get yeah. prints made of you with the jock strap
yeah.
in Florida?
Yeah.
When you almost got arrested?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's exposing himself to children. I probably would have. It would make him fucking run into the ocean and drown. See? Why do I have the good comeback to the cop 20 yeah. years too late? It's always on your way home from the fight. I should have done this.
The wit of the stairs, as Jonathan called it.
Where is Jonathan? I picture that poor fucking limey cocksucker out in this cold Arizona rain smoking.
Missing home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even Raider. We didn't even have Raider today. I think a lot of people need a night off. I think it's a Seroquel night for me.
It is raining, so.
It's not
yeah,
windy.
I think everybody likes the rain. My shutting in with the rain, I think, is everybody's idea.
Yep. All right, any Netflix recommendations? Or it doesn't have to be Netflix anymore. Fucking now that Amazon Prime is around, that's like a fucking jukebox with way too many selections. So you go to Netflix because you go, maybe they have one new release that I'm limited to, rather than me having to think of a movie out of the billions on Amazon.
What did you think of that one I recommended to you on Prime? Baytown Outlaws.
Oh,
wait,
shit.
Wait, what
I
is
think
it?
I fell asleep
I
that.
Didn't hear that.
Baytown Outlaws.
Baytown?
I know
Baytown
I looked it up.
Baytown Outlaws.
I looked it up. I could find it. And then I don't know if I either fell asleep to it drunk or was too drunk to put it on.
I've never heard him refer to that
I
one.
I fell asleep to it drunk.
Yeah. Operation Odessa was amazing. I love that
Wait,
one.
Was that your first time hearing about that?
Chad mentioned it, and then I think you seconded the motion. So then I said,
"Oh yeah,
well,
I thought,
have to watch
I thought,
it."
I thought you were watching it again because I just watched it again. And
it kept coming up
brilliant.
Like it was one that they were pushing, but I didn't get it.
Oh, the other one is Icarus that I have to rewatch because that's fucking brilliant.
That's one that Lenny Minnie's husband told me about.
Yeah, that's the one. That you think that it's an interesting documentary. Well before the turn.
Oh, yeah.
And then the turn, you're like, oh, this is a whole different documentary altogether.
And better, yes.
Chad, you've seen Icarus?
Yes, I saw when it first came out.
Great.
Years ago.
All right.
Very good.
Well, I would recommend the last two tracks of before turning the gun on himself, but you have to buy the whole album. Is there anyone out there that did not buy the fucking last one that came out? I don't even remember what it's Dying of the Last Breed. Get that. And listen to that goddamn audiobook so you know all the extra effort I put into the hard copy in the next 2 weeks. Extended.
So you think you're epilogue. Gonna? You think you'll finish with the writing of the new passage before New Year's Day?
I have to.
All right.
I'm on a deadline.
I wanted it on wax.
If you see me fucking tweeting, you say you have a deadline. Did you write today? And I will not respond because I already responded to the first guy that said that. If I'm responding at all, and I'm not just gonna keep saying yes, yes, yes.
I had a question in Patreon.
Nom, 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 Chomsky. I laughed my balls off. I don't care who's irritated on me for my weekend tweets. We got so fucked up for 2 days. And
day two
I was laughing so fucking hard. I missed all the football. I was just fucking... Both Tracy and I woke up Sunday morning still drunk and then started a champagne bar. No, that was Saturday. We finished the champagne.
Sunday, Tracy woke up. I woke up and I go, Tracy, do I need to make the run to get you some breakfast from Burger King? The bad, bad, right?
The bad, bad, bad. Thing.
So she goes, yeah, maybe. So she's still in bed. I come back. It's 15 minutes later. I come back with the Eggnormous burrito and she's
not a sponsor.
She's meeting me at the door and I'm like, oh, and she's like, I should probably get a champagne in me first. That was Sunday morning, and I didn't see her until like 2 a.m. after that.
We had the mimosa bar, yes. Which this is a brilliant idea for you. Oh, and also the tater tot bar.
What?
Yeah.
So the mimosa bar, we just got a shitload of champagne. Shout out, Joby's going to get me your names. All these people, because Joby made the death pool free this year.
Yeah.
Doug Stanhope Celebrity Death Pool, it's free to get into. So get into it. And a few people had already paid. So when he tried to refund their money, he said, they said, just go fucking keep it.
Oh.
Buy booze for the fun house. So Joby took a bunch of that money. And there was like seven
That's
handles.
When he was here with the shopping cart?
Yeah, cart full of booze.
I thought that was your grocery list.
No, so.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's a lot of booze.
It's a lot of booze. So that was all. We already had the champagne bar planned, yeah. And then four more bottles of fucking champagne show up. So we had. So I went just fucking batshit crazy at Safeway, and I just what kind of juice? They have banana juice. I'm buying it. Cherry juice, pineapple, apple cider. Pomegranate, mango, like anything that you could possibly. I drew the line at coconut because I hate it. And I go, most of this ain't going to get drank till I put it in a smoothie later in the week. And I hate coconut. So
it wouldn't be good. Coconut.
It was
water.
Banana, coconut, or.
Coconut.
Coconut.
Now hold on. I'm interested. Wait, is it coconut fresh?
Coconut.
We stop.
What was surprising is that with champagne, that banana anything tasted okay with champagne.
Really?
Well, banana cherry. Because cherry's like too tart and banana's too
sounds good.
Milky.
You know, Safeway now has banana milk. How
banana
they
milk.
How they
banana milk.
I don't know how they milk the banana, but I'm a fan.
Yeah, that's just
good. It's good.
You don't know how to milk a banana?
Well, I'm waiting.
Oh,
well.
Find its prostate.
Wrong hole.
So we did a mimosa bar, which means you have to start early for mimosas. So we did that, and that lasted. And then Sunday morning, still drunk. All right. Well, we did tater tot bar, too, where I just brought out.
That was a condiment bar.
Yeah, it was a condiment bar, just like champagne.
Okay, yeah.
Fucking shitloads of fucking tater tots and Joby's spite sauce, fucking Frank's Red Hot, blue cheese, Italian dressing.
Italian dressing
was fucking a surprise. Yeah, A1 sauce, the best condiment in the world, makes everything better.
If this hasn't reached over to your guys' circle, it has in my other circle here. Joby Spice, the yep. sprinkle stuff in ketchup. It okay. makes ketchup yeah. worth eating by 100%. It's so good.
Sounds like you could do that with a little ketchup, mayo, and spice.
Oh, yeah. even better.
Yeah,
we did French dressing. Now, that's Thousand Island, basically. Put it out there. But you know why it was perfect? Because we fucking get all this shit and you don't know who's going to eat what. But when you only have one thing and 1,000 condiments you're going to put back. Yeah, juice and fucking hot sauce. They're going to get used.
That's a low rent buffet. That's pretty good.
You know, no one says, hey, isn't this the same hot sauce you had out yesterday? Yeah, it is. All right, I think this went from fucking pretty good into some kind of Good Morning America.
Charles Carroll, Sunday morning.
Yeah, it's just fucking Rachel Ray talking about, here's a spiffy way to make fucking company happy.
I think Chad's suggestion is a banger, man. I can't eat the spite sauce or the spice by itself. It's too fucking hot. But mixing it down, yeah.
Yeah, I've fucked some stuff up with that, discrediting it. At one point, I actually sprinkled it on my finger to taste it.
No, it's not a way.
And it didn't burn that much. And I don't know if it was due to the amount of fucking painkillers Tracy had poured me in a drink. Or
I'll take one more
just,
beer, too.
So I didn't think it was that bad. And then I thought I sprinkled a liberal amount on something. And
You know what it was?
I remember because fucking Michael Biehn was here, and it was shepherd's pie, and I didn't have it. I go, you want some shepherd's pie? I'd already served it, and he fucking ate it and made her take a bite of it, and then I ate the leftovers the next day. I'm like, holy shit, this is like 1,000% sodium and fucking burning. Oops,
sodium burn. Hey, you gonna do that thing I asked you not to forget? The thank you.
Oh, I get some thank yous here. I got. I didn't even bother trying to look her up, but fuck, I should have brought the letter anyway. Stephanie Gast. She just said she had a dog that died. Good fucking timing for this thank you. Yeah, her dog died, so she wrote a fucking a biography of her dog. It's very short. Doesn't even have page numbers. It's that short.
It sounds like something you can read.
What's her name? Jasmine. The wrong Jasmine. That's all I'm going to call you. Well, I think I brought her up. I have a whole folder from Jasmine in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
She was my original, like, one of my original crazies. Now she's doing good. I keep in touch. I'm not, like, proactive. I'm reactive in keeping in touch. But, yeah, that's one of the people I try to write back to. And then this other Jasmine started emailing her and it sounded a little fucking crazy. Had a little bit of the same parlance in her emails. And at some point I was responding to her thinking she's crazy Australian Jasmine. And at some point she said, why the fuck would you say I'm from Australia?
Nate.
Yeah, just some cunty like email. And I'm like, wow, she turned on me. I'm like, wait, you are from Australia. And then I figured out it's the wrong one.
Yeah.
And so I haven't replied to that lady since. You're the wrong Jasmine. Can't fucking, what do they call that? Where you wear the fucking purple heart? Stolen valor.
Stolen
That's
valor.
What you stole the valor of a other
of
crazy.
A real crazy.
But she sent a old copy of On the Road by Jack Kerouac. And it's cute because it smells bad. But I've already read it. And it's but I found it's an easy book to re-gift right away.
I've never re-gifted. Read that.
Really?
Well, it made me sneeze. So wear a mask.
I like the smell. I like the smell.
I know.
Of old books.
I love the smell of old books, but it did make me sneeze.
All right. Do you have any other thank yous? Billy.
Wait. Fucking. Oh shit. Seth Brashears.
Yes.
Seth Brashears set that fucking pizza.
Three pizzas.
Well, you ate one without us because it was
very... I also didn't read the directions, and I cooked it at a lower temp, and it was really like soup on bread. My fault. Totally my fault. But delicious anyway.
That's what kicked off the mimosa
bar. Always dapperly dressed?
Yes.
That's Seth? Yes.
No, dressed as me for Pete's sake. Yes. Yes.
He didn't say slovenly. He said dapper.
Yeah, but people might think that that's a rich man's suit. This is a fucking a tasteful man's suit.
Well, these pizzas were from the Rocket Inn in Indianola, Nebraska. And thank you very much, Seth. We enjoyed all of them. I cooked the game day and the special pizza for game day for everyone up here. And sauerkraut on a pizza.
I didn't do that.
Did you try
it? Everyone was sold on putting sauerkraut. They sent sauerkraut with the pizza, sauerkraut and chili sauce. I'm like, I'm sitting there with my fucking shaker of fucking crushed peppers and my shaker of Parmesan.
Seth suggested the way they do it is they put sauerkraut on the pizza, and there was no way I was going to do that because I didn't want to queer it if no one was going to eat it. But it's still good with the sour. Yeah, it's still good. And if you do want to go to Rocket Inn and get a pizza, it's through Gold Belly, which for some reason that started to come up in my YouTube ads, goldbelly.com or whatever.
Don't say it till we buy stock.
All right.
Is this
no?
That's how memes
work. We have one
memes
day.
Memes turn into money, honey. That was the kickoff. Was the fucking pizza? Yeah. It was amazing, and on time. Jaylee, rarely on time.
Hey, thank you to everyone. I'll say this without asking Doug if I can, but thank you for everyone responding to Vodka Juice Box, Bingo, and T Rex or
Tarek.
We call him T Rex. They are ecstatic, and there's a lot of stuff coming down the pipe.
Yeah, follow them at @vodka_jukebox.
Juke.
Oh, fuck. See, someone did actually. Juice box.
He said juke.
It's Molotov jukebox. It's easy to fuck it up. Vodka juice box.
Yes.
vodka_jukebox. I think they're releasing the mastered version of their song tomorrow. The one you heard last week. Someone did send I got a tweet. You got to really fucking work on the fucking whatever mastering, for lack of whatever you said.
Basically a demo.
Those chords sound like you're playing the ribs or something. But it was actually funny how they said it, but you don't send shitty things to Bingo.
Yeah, listen to fucking...
hopefully Bingo doesn't...
Listen to We Are the Champions and Brian May with his finger sliding across the fucking strings is fucking magic, asshole.
No, the point is, they know it had to be mastered.
No, that was, Doug, you even said, this is the unwashed version of Unattended.
Yeah.
And that was it. This was basically...
Bingo's need to put that out immediately was in direct conflict with her knowledge that it shouldn't be out immediately.
I disagree.
She's not a patient woman.
I disagree. I like it, warts and all, when it comes out like that, because they're going to spend more time... like polishing it up.
The only editing will be so, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I like it raw like that, I think.
Yeah.
It captures more of the moment and what it was intended for, God damn it.
You know, I always used to give Mishka some of the business, him knowing I have no knowledge of music. But when it was just him alone acoustic, and then he put a lot of those songs back out with a full band, and I realized I'd rather hang out with the band than Mishka. I will just talk. Fuck the music. Wow. I feel like I need $700 more, so let's call this a wrap.
What's that? Chatting.
You know what? I was going to say that you look way prettier on camera than you do in real life.
I know, right?
But then I saw you in real life, and I go, no, you actually look like that.
Yeah, he put the nice thing on.
No, I don't think I have it on.
No, it's not. No, you don't usually look like that. You usually look way uglier.
Yeah, easy now. Here we go.
Well, it's the only way I can fucking sell my compliment is to take it away.
Chad live streaming UFC, isn't it?
Is Chad live streaming UFC?
Oh, that's the question I had.
I don't know if you're allowed to do that.
No, you can't. No,
are you watching it? Are you watching it?
Are you going to watch it?
No, there's one that happened today earlier. I need
Biden
to watch.
Won.
it started, it was like, think in, I don't know where, but it was, started like early this morning.
Thank you for having me do that.
And then there's a pay-per-view coming up. But I'm not, Conor McGregor is fighting, and I'm not.
No.
I'm
oh, not Conor McGregor?
Yeah, he's going against another guy for the second time.
Yeah.
Right on. Yep. Don't buy that.
For that.
Don't buy the hype.
Do not buy that.
Because all you're buying is hype.
That's by tomorrow.
You can watch any other fight on fucking World Star or out in front of the fucking liquor store. And it's no different than all you're paying for is hype and hating that guy, which is a manufactured fucking. That's, we just got rid of Trump, who did the same thing. He got fucking popped. Fuck Conor McGregor. That's the next inauguration, is no one buys that fight.
All right, one question, and then we'll go. I know you want to get out of here. Patreon question. Any thoughts of live streaming in the Funhouse during football? Like an open cam of just like what's going on in here.
For a Super Bowl, depending. Super Bowl.
All right.
We've talked about doing this where we can't put the TV on, but you can be part of the party just like we do the happy hours. We have to do another one of those again. The happy hours are great.
You know where I live.
But, we wouldn't necessarily be talking to you. You'd just be a fly on the wall.
I think that's what it was. It's like being like the 12th man. You're in here. You're in the room.
You also have to understand there's not going to be that many people here, and they're not necessarily going to be where we're recording. Because if for some reason it's good weather on Sunday, most people will be outside. So you might only have a few people in here. Check the fucking weather a week before. It's going to be shitty weather. We're only going to be able to put 6 or 8 in here, and we have to know they're quarantined.
Maybe if it is good weather, we can put a cam up on top of the funhouse, just down, because we'll have the patio TV going and stuff
like
that.
All right, let me edit my answer back into this. Actually, I have no idea what our capabilities are. This might be a question for Greg Chaley. And now you cut your answer back into that and see.
No.
Perfect.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see if Chaley has windows in his house by then.
Thank you, everyone, on Patreon. We just put our once a month extra content out last week, which was your interview with the Queen of COVID. Mamou and Christine Levine, and we do not have an update on her. She did tweet today, so she is alive. I haven't talked to her.
I've talked to her in the last couple of days where she was, her sense of taste and smell are coming back.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we talked to her over Drunken Weekend. Anything I tweeted, I stand by over the Drunken Weekend, other than Twitter itself, which, and anyone who I called in Alaska, we talked to Alaska. They don't listen to the podcast, but if you do, I'm sorry if I said anything untowards before I lay under the coffee table for a nice winter's nap. Okay. Thank you. Take us out, Peggy.
Okay. Bye-bye now.